Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker, and we are here once again on a nice, hot, steamy summer day in July here in Hotlanta. Biz Rocket Radio is a show where we get a chance to speak with and learn about executives as well as business owners here in the Atlanta area, learn from some of their experiences that they've had, their challenges, a lot of their successes. And today we've got Brian Hilliard, who is a best-selling author. We are pleased to have you in the studio today.
Thank you.
So, best-selling author.
Yeah.
That's a big title.
Well, you know, it's funny. We did the book on networking like a pro, like you're talking about.
Yep.
The bestseller came out actually last year.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny, when I first saw that, it was kind of like I didn't really get it. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, it's number one on Amazon.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it kind of sunk in. But yeah, we've gotten used to it now.
Yeah, that's great. That is great. That's a great title to kind of take along with you. It's almost like you're being knighted or something, right?
I never thought about it.
Never
like
goes
that.
Away. It's the title.
You can call me Sir Brian.
Sir Brian. I can do that. I can do that. This is good. So, Sir Brian,
yeah.
Please tell us a little bit about your background. I know that you do a lot of consulting.
Yep.
About networking and turning networking concepts into real leads and,
right.
and connections.
Right.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, you know, I started my business right after 9/11, you know, and one of the things that I was really trying to get out there was the idea that networking and marketing in general is something that is pretty easy to do if you have the right framework in mind. What we did was I worked with my mother. She's a motivational speaker, and she is up in the Northeast. I'm originally from Connecticut, so she's up in the Northeast, and she'll talk a lot about positive parenting and works a lot with nonprofits. So what I did was I worked with her for about 8 or 9 months, then got a chance to really say, you know what, this is kind of something that I can see myself doing. And got started, went right in there. And I always tell people, starting my own business, and I think a lot of people should feel this way, but starting my own business was the single best decision that I've made. Just being able to not only affect and talk to and engage a number of people, but also to be able to do it on my own terms. You know
right.
what I mean? And
right.
I've really enjoyed it.
And how long have you been out on your own? Did you ever go into corporate America and kind of
do
that whole deal?
I did. I've been doing, this is my 10th year.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I did. I was in corporate America for a little bit beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
People always ask me, they say, well, should you go, you know, new entrepreneurs, they say, should you go into corporate America first? Because a lot of the kids these days, they're taking entrepreneurship classes.
Yeah.
You know,
right out of the
gates,
right?
Yeah, in college, you know, and I didn't have that. I don't know if you had that.
Not
but
at all.
I didn't have that. And people are asking me, they're saying, should you take that class and then should you just go for your own or should you work in corporate America? My recommendation is, I think just going to corporate America, if for lack of a better term, even it showed me what not to do sometimes, you know, and I don't know if everyone else had similar experience, but I always recommend get a couple of years under your belt and then just go straight in.
So what do you think really separates somebody that is a wannabe entrepreneur and somebody who could really really doesn't need to be trying to run their own business versus
right.
someone who really should be out there and giving it a bit. Have you seen a difference there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll back up and make a premise if I can.
Sure.
Part of the deal is running your own business and being an entrepreneur, in my mind, are two different things.
Yeah.
All right. An entrepreneur is somebody who has a single set of skills that they are personally responsible for. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's mm-hmm. fine.
Right.
A business owner, though, is responsible for a series or a system of tools or skills that need to get done that might actually transcend their own personal ability to do that. So should anybody go out and be an entrepreneur, or we'll use the term self-employed? Well, theoretically, I think, sure, I don't have a problem with that. Should everybody be a business owner? I don't think so. You know, part of what they need to be able to understand is, and you understand this, I'm sure, as well, running your own business is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, there's this perception. So I was talking to my brother the other day. He's his name is Aaron. He's up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And we were talking. He's a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, we're talking. He says, "Well, Brian," this is exactly what he says. "Well, Brian, I just thought you'd be earning more money by now." And that's what he said. And he wasn't trying to be disrespectful. That's just what
you're
we were
best selling author.
Yeah. Right. He's like, I just thought you'd be earning more money.
It's like, what, did you take a look at my
W-2?
What is going on with this?
And I said, Aaron, I said, you know, we're earning fine. We're doing all right. Yeah. You know, we're not earning as much as we were 3 years ago, just like the rest of the country.
Right.
But I said, you know, Aaron, part of being in business, first of all, I don't know if there's this idea that you have this Donald Trump, you know, Bill Gates, you know, Paul Allen type of deal. And part of running your own business, in my mind, as I teach it, is you want to be able to go out and you want to talk to people, engage them, but it is a process. And just by still being in business, what's the statistics? 10% of all businesses succeed, 10% of all businesses succeed after 5 years, so 90% don't.
Right.
And then the 10% that do, another 90% fall down the next 5 years.
Right.
So, you know, I'm telling them, I'm saying, look, you know, you got to cut me some slack. I'm still in the game.
That's right. Yeah, I'm still living. I'm part of that 1%. Come on.
So yeah, that's what I always do. But yeah, I don't think starting a business, I don't think that's for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us more about your consulting work.
I mean,
what do you do? Who are you working with?
Yeah.
What have you found to be a sweet spot for you?
Well, one of the things that I do is I actually break it down into two distinct areas. I've got my consulting business, which I talk about networking like a pro. And really, in a perfect world, I help busy entrepreneurs market their business in less than 90 days. All right. So that's kind of my call, my tagline, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And what I do when I consult is I will work with people in a small group environment, sometimes individually, but mostly a small group environment, what we call intensives. All right. So we'll have an intensive. We've got one coming up. How to market your business in less than 90 days is one of them. I'm doing that actually in a couple of days. We've got another one talking about prospecting through word of mouth marketing, you know, and the conversation we're having there is for the first one is we're talking about the 12 marketing tools that you can use to market your business, networking, referrals, direct mail. I find that a lot of people want to market their business, but it's a real big question and they don't get real clear on how to do that.
Right.
So we run them through 4 sessions, 90 minutes apiece, 60 to 90 minutes apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go over some things like how do you develop an elevator pitch? What are some profitable target markets? Should I use social media versus direct mail? Those
sure.
types of things that they walk out with a marketing plan. On the other side is the speaking end, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So on the speaking end, what I'll do is I'll speak at a conference, like a trade association. I'm speaking, a guy called me just the other day. He hired me to come down and speak at his franchise. They have a franchise downtown Atlanta, and they're going to be having, I don't know, X number of people coming down. And I'm going to actually be talking about prospecting through word of mouth marketing. Okay. And that conversation is, and the same thing in a small group, but that conversation is going to be where I am going to be talking about how you can fill the top end of your sales cycle, right? A lot of people are good when they're actually sitting down in front of somebody, but a lot of them don't. So they'll come to me, they'll say, "Well, I only got 2 deals last month." I'm like, "All right, how many do you want?" "Well, I want 4. I said, "All right, well, how many people did you actually sit down and talk to?" And what it comes down to, 5. You know, and so the conversion rate is fine.
Yeah,
it's the top end that's not.
Not enough getting into the funnel.
There's
right?
not enough in the funnel.
Yeah.
So what we do is we talk about the top 10 ways to prospect. All right. We have a conversation about how you can network again. We have a conversation about how you can use social media. But we also really get into things like, what do you want to do in terms of turning the contacts you get into the connections that you need? And at the end of the day, following up and staying on top of that. And, you know, we can get into this a little bit more. But
part of
the thing that I talk about is, I think networking and prospecting through word of mouth, I really think that's a conversation about preparation and organization. You know, and I talk a little bit about what that means, and we can get into that if you want, but that's the answer to the question.
Yeah. So part of what you're doing is it one-on-one consulting, or is it like workshop type things that you're doing with groups of people?
I call it a small group intensive, anywhere from 2 to 10 folks.
Gotcha.
All right. So I'm going to be down in Peachtree City, like I said, Friday, 4 or 5 people.
Okay.
You know, we're doing the one, the prospecting through word of mouth, in a couple of weeks. That's like 7 or 8. You know, and what we do is we limit it to one person per business category. And people ask me, they say, well, why do you do that? And I say, well, we've got a small group. You know, you're obviously in the world of finance and advising and stuff like that. And I don't know if you would want to be getting all these great ideas on marketing, and you've got the guy from MetLife downstairs or whatever, you know, talking about that and learning that as well. So
good. So now if you've got somebody who's sitting out there and they're saying, you know what, that's something that I'm just killing me. I really need to get the marketing thing going.
Right,
that top end side really is an issue.
Right.
Or I need somebody to just help in this type of an area.
Right.
Do they go to your website and check that out?
Yeah.
How do they?
Yeah.
What's the first step for them?
Our website, the name of my company is Agito Consulting. It's AGITO. Consulting.
Okay.
It's a .com address, obviously, so www. And they can go take a look at that. We've got a snappy little page that talks about intensives. We've got a, you know, little video and stuff like that. And just take a look at some of the things that are out there. And then obviously that's got information in terms of contacting my office.
Right.
And we just take it from there. You know, we take a look at what you want to do. And one of the things I just got off the phone before coming up here to see you guys. I was following up with a woman, and, you know, we were going back and forth, and it turns out that she's not actually going to be in the class. And I said, you know what? That's totally fine. She says, yeah, I feel like I'm telling you bad news. I said, no, it's not bad, because what you said, you have this, she's a part of a program where they go through this 10-week curriculum and going through this, you know, they meet every week and then they call every quarter and then they go to Vegas every month. You know, it's like this real intense thing. And a lot of business owners don't have that, right? Now, Barbara did, which was fine. And I said, no, you don't need to do that. But for people who maybe don't have that structure, who might not have the support that they need, I have found, and people who have told me, have taken the class, have found that this is something that's a real good alternative.
So it's really, it's good for maybe those people that are, maybe their corporation is someplace else.
Right.
Maybe they're here, and they're almost, maybe even independents, I would imagine.
Yeah, a lot of our sweet spot, if you will, is business owners.
Yep.
Okay, so if you own a business and, you know, anywhere from whatever, one person all the way up to 10, 20, whatever, you're a business owner, you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I need to be able to market, I need to get more business, I need to be able to do some other things, I don't want to necessarily make cold calls, that's not what we talk about.
Right.
All right, you know, if you want that, that's telesales that work, that's by Alan Schiffman, it's a great book, that's not us. So what we do is we talk about word of mouth, we talk about networking, we talk about the deliverable is a actual marketing plan that even the busiest of people can use right away.
And how long is this session that they...
It depends on the program, you know, on the intensive. The marketing, how to market your business in less than 90 days, those are 90 minutes, because it's a bigger conversation.
Right.
Okay, four 90-minute sessions.
Four 90-minute
sessions. Four 90-minute sessions.
So you kind of break that down, you start off.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of the day, they're walking away with a game plan.
Oh, yeah, and it's actually not the literative day, it's the figurative one where they are going, it's over a 5-week period.
Okay.
Right? Yep. So we'll have four sessions, 90 minutes each, and we will go and walk through this material, and then you will have an opportunity. We either do it in person, all right, so we have a small group in person, and then I also have some of them online, right? So I'll do the first two sessions in person for the marketing one, and then I'll do the next two online. You know, we record them, obviously.
Sure.
The other ones, like the prospecting through word-of-mouth marketing, we even have another one, building a world-class referral-based business. We have three.
Mm-hmm.
Those are more done, the world-class business is done in person as well. Building a world-class referral-based business is done in person. And the prospecting through word-of-mouth marketing, those are all done online. All right, so those are actually 60 minutes. And what I found is those are geared for more of the newer entrepreneur, 3 or less years in the business, for people who just, gosh, I need to get my pipeline full because I need to do something. Because I know what I'm doing now isn't working.
Right.
And I know that I don't want to do sales, and I know I don't want to be that guy. A lot of people come from a place of not wanting to be that guy.
that
okay.
that sales guy.
Over the top, yeah. traditional, yeah. in your face, the guy that yep. no one wants to be. Yeah.
Is, you know it. Yeah. Everyone's got one.
that they see. And what they do, unfortunately, is they go the other way. So they say, I don't want to be this person over here on my far left. But what I do want to do is I'm just going to go put my shop up and set up my, you know, put it up. If you build it, they will come, right? Yeah. Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to do that, and I'm going to make sure that people come. The problem is that people don't come.
Yeah.
You know, right. and they need something that's accessible for them, right? Something that's comfortable for them to do, and at the same time, it's going to get them some results.
What do you think the biggest sticking point that entrepreneurs and business owners have about figuring that whole thing out? Because
yeah.
it does seem to be like a mental block almost.
I think it's kind of what I'm mentioning a little bit. I think it's one of the things we're getting into a little bit of a psychology discussion, but yeah. what I think
it's all
is,
good. We can go there.
Yeah. what I really think is, I think at the end of the day, people know more about what they don't want to be than what they do. You know, yeah. I think in a family situation, you don't want to be like your mom. You don't want to be like your dad. All right. You know, and you're going away. I don't want to be this. I don't want to do that. I don't want. But then you ask those very same people, well, what do you want to be? You know, and the image I give of people is kind of like you're running in the dark and you're just running away, away, away. And you can't see where you're going and you're not sure where it leads. But, you know, in a general vague sense, it's somehow getting you away from this.
Something you don't want to be near.
Right. For reasons that you're not really even clear on 100%. Hmm. So I think that in a business standpoint, I think it just goes into the same and spills over into the same arena. Okay. I think that when you talk about business, they don't want to be that sales guy. They don't maybe want to work. You asked me a question about corporate America. Maybe their experience was similar to mine where they didn't feel like that was the answer. Okay. So all they know is what they don't want to be. So what happens is when I talk with them, I say, all right, listen, I had a guy did a presentation yesterday and he said, because I was making a conversation, we were having a conversation about a traditional versus a consultative sales approach.
Right.
Okay. And I said, you know, with the traditional approach, it's that in your face, hammer it down. Unfortunately, it's a traditional American way of doing business. That's just how we do it here for whatever reason. But you go in the consultative approach and that's an education. That is a progression. That is a, you know, Brian Tracy talks about 80% of all new sales are obtained after the fifth contact. Mm-hmm. So the consultative approach has you educating people. So what I do is I said, listen, we're still, he asked me, he says, well, do we still ask for the business with this approach? Yes.
Yes.
All right. We're still going to, business will be, you know, products will be sold.
You must close at some point. Right?
Products will be sold. Services will be rendered. Okay. But, you know, it's done in a way where there's not a close per se in the, I need to objection handle and maneuver and hopefully get around and cajole you.
Yeah.
But there's more of a, just a, it, the close should simply be a logical extension of the next course of action.
Sure.
It should simply be where, you know, just like when you get up, you shake hands, right? And then you leave the room. That's just how it is, okay?
Yeah.
Well, it should be the same type of thing. You talk, you engage. Well, you know what? Maybe this is something that you'd like to take a look at. Yeah, you know, and the prospect talks themselves into it.
Yeah.
And now you're having that conversation. And then all you have to do is say, all right, well, let me do this. Let me go in and I'll, you know, for me, what I'll say is we take a deposit on your deal and we go from there.
So the first part of what you're doing, these small sessions,
yeah,
sounds
yeah.
like it's more maybe a business owner or,
yes.
or an entrepreneur or
yes.
maybe a salesperson that's on their own.
Yes.
And then the speaking pieces are almost like a corporation goes, hey, I got a group that needs to listen to you.
That's exactly
and
right.
And they bring you in and then you go through that. And then do you find that you get many of those people that go, wow, I need to do the other thing.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, I do. Like I said, I'm going down. So I'll do, just as an example, I'll do a franchise conference just for sake of conversation. So I might speak in front of, you know, 200 franchisees. All right. And what we're doing is we're talking about, in this case, it's going to be, again, prospecting through word of mouth marketing. And I will just have a good conversation. I'm going to be there 90 minutes, I believe. And just talking and engaging and having a good conversation. And yeah, we're going to get people who are going to say, listen, you know what, Brian? I'd like to be able to learn a little bit more about your program.
Right.
Which is one of the things that, you know, I was talking about networking, right? And word of mouth. A big part of that conversation in my mind is preparation, as I alluded to before, is really about preparation and organization. And for me, it is preparation in the sense of you know what it is that you want to say. So you have to have your elevator pitch.
Yep.
You have to have a unique selling proposition. A lot of people don't have that. We cover that, obviously, in the material.
Right.
Then you need to understand, how can I get myself in front of those people, right, and be in a place where the people who, where what I'm saying is two people who want to hear what it has to be. Okay. And then from there, it gets into an organization conversation, which is a lot of people, you know, and maybe some of your listeners or whatever, a lot of people use their, you know, Outlook as their contact management system.
Right.
All right. And
yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, whatever. But you want to have a contact management system that actually works. You know, I used to use a program called ACT. A lot of people have done that before, and that's fine. The problem I had with it was it didn't port.
Right.
I wasn't able to go online and do it.
Right.
All right. So what I did was I actually got another service. It's called the Referral Rainmaker, and that's an online deal. Okay. Cost me $20. It's $20 a month. Depends on the package.
Right.
$20 a month.
Right.
It's $20 to $40. I go with the $40.
You're the cheap
package.
Guy.
I go with the $40 package.
Oh, okay.
I go with the $40 package. But it can be $20.
Right.
You can go with $20. And what I do is I'm able to email. I'm able to text. I'm able to manage my social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to send out a newsletter. All right. All of this happens, and I was going, you know, and I was paying another company for an online newsletter piece that was just doing this online newsletter, right? And I was paying the same amount. So what happens is, to answer your question, when I go out and I meet these people, right, I'm meeting them, and I might get 100 people that I talk in front of, and 20 of them might say, I want to talk with you, Brian, about more of this stuff. I need to be organized. I got myself a business card scanner, okay? That's the best. It's a card scan. Okay, $140 retail. Now that we paid $120, okay, and
with your rebate,
that's exactly right. And we were able to do that. But that's where you want to be able to be organized, so that you're calling on people who are going to be open to your message and theoretically have raised their hand saying, "I want to learn more."
Right, and this transcends different businesses. It
sounds
like. I mean, it sounds like you said in these sessions, you only have one person kind of representing each group.
Right,
so
right.
You've got metal sellers and toilet paper people and financial people and you name it, real estate people and all, because all these, the same concept is you got to find the people, right? You got to find the top line. You got to know what to do when you get there.
That's exactly right. And here's the bottom line, John, in my opinion, the bottom line is that we as a country, as a maybe a world, but definitely as a country, are getting away from and becoming more resistant to a direct sale, got to buy it, adversarial approach.
Right.
All right. I am more likely to work with you if I know you as an advisor than if I get the guy across the street.
Right.
Even if theoretically he has a better service or product.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the real game becomes, how can I, as a service provider, get to be in front of more people?
Right.
Right. What can I do to do that? We send out personalized handwritten notes. You know, we have a thank you for your business. Thank you for the referral, and nice to meet you. You know, one of the things, how many times when you give a referral to somebody that you actually get a thank you card
in the
mail?
Yeah.
We actually kicked it up a notch. This is a kind of funny story. So we have a dog. My wife and I, we got a dog, and his name is Barley. And he's a Shiba Inu, which for your listeners means he's about 40 pounds, and he looks like a fox.
Right. So long and lean.
Yeah, right, he looks like a fox. And what he does is, you know, he goes after all these small animals. He just, if you let him off the leash in the woods, he goes, and something is coming back. And so what we do.
Not necessarily alive.
Right. Something's coming back or is up in a tree.
Right.
And with Barley, what we did was we took a picture of him. My wife took a picture of him when apparently he was in his little, like, you know, hunting mode.
Yeah.
And we put it on our card. And we took the picture and put it on a card, and we said, oh, we're always on the lookout for referrals.
Yeah.
And what we did was I wrote a card from his perspective. And I said, hi, my name is Barley, and I'm Brian's dog. I understand that you gave him a referral the other day of, you know, John Smith. And I was hoping, you know, just wanted to let you know we really appreciate it. And, you know, it's really good to have somebody like you on our word of mouth marketing team. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
You know, and it says Barley, Chief Referral Officer.
Yeah.
Right? I gave him a title.
Awesome.
Chief Referral Officer, Ajito Consulting. You
right,
know,
right.
And people love that. I remember I walked into an office of a woman who gave me I saw this picture of Barley on her desk. And I was like, what is that doing? I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That we had sent the
it's
card.
It's like my dog. Are you stalking
I'm
me? Like,
right. I'm thinking to myself, I'm backing out. I'm going to call the police.
Yeah.
You know, and then
your business does not mean that much to me, lady. Okay.
So I, then I was like, oh, right. It was kind of like, it's kind of like when you wake up from a dream, right? You're like, oh, right. And I woke up and I was like, yeah, right. That's right. I gave her, you know, she gave me a referral. Make it fun.
Yeah.
Make it fun. Make it so that it's easy. Make it fun. And people will, if you give them the tools, help you out.
Yeah. That's great. Great information. I'm going to change gears a little bit here.
Go ahead.
So let's talk a little bit about the book, Networking Like a Pro.
Okay. Let's talk.
What did you learn going through that process of, mm-hmm. of writing a book.
Writing a book is hard work. If anybody tells you different, they are not telling you the entire truth.
Yeah.
You know, that was actually my fourth book. What I did was Networking Like a Pro in its most recent version was the bestseller. Okay, that was my fourth one. My third one actually was How to Overachieve Without Overcommitting. My second one was How to Talk So Others Will Listen. That's actually for the realtors. It was kind of funny story there. People were buying it off of the website, and I kind of, with realtors, what do? They're driving, they never read, right? So you have to pop in. So we wound up converting that to a CD, but yep. I still count as a book because it came first. and then the Networking Like a Pro, the original version was my first one back in 2003. And, you know, having written several of them now, I think part of it is you really, you know, the process, and I tell people it's easy. You have to make it a priority. You have to make sure that when you're going out and you're writing a book, you can't, this is not something that you just sneak in like I'm going to go. It's like working out. You got to put it on your calendar and respect it like a meeting. Okay.
Yep.
And what I tell people is for me, the first book I wrote took me 3 months and I was just knocking it out, you know, an hour or two in the morning. Bang, bang, bang. That's when I do my best work. And then the whole thing, when it's all said and done, you know, we use a company out in Tennessee, not for this latest one, but we use normally for our other books, we use a company out in Tennessee that allows us to be able to do print on demand, you know. And for people who are thinking about maybe buying a book, not buying a book, but creating or writing a book is what I meant to say. What they want to be able to do is take a look at what it is that you've got out there. You know, the first book we wrote was 20 chapters.
Right.
100 pages.
Yeah.
I didn't even think it was going to be enough.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And just take a look at what people are asking you. Take a look at what people want to hear about. And then you can have something that people will probably buy.
So you just kind of progressed from that first one, learned mm-hmm. from that. And then why did you go back to the same title? Was there
great
that
question.
Much new information?
The answer to that is yes, actually three times. This latest one has got to be... If it's not 300 pages, it's like 260.
Wow.
You know, it's something like that.
Yeah.
What I did was we actually co-authored that with a couple of people, one of them being Dr. Ivan Meissner. He is the founder of BNI, which is Business Networking International, if you haven't heard of that. It's just a referral group that is out here in the Atlanta area and across the country and the
sure.
world. And what I did was Dr. Meissner wanted to be able to, he wanted to be able to write a book and co-author it with me. David Alexander was the one who brought us together. And we just said, you know what, he loved the title, which I kept the trademark for, by the way. And we were able to make sure that, you know, at the end of the day, Dr. Meissner and David and we all sat together. We said, let's come up and put some new stuff into this bad boy. That was still 7-8 years ago, I remember, 2003.
So it was still based on the original document, just kind of updated.
We just fleshed it
there.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, we totally fleshed it out. We took stuff from David. We took stuff from Dr. Meissner. And then really we just had, you know, a conversation around how can we make networking doable? How can we make it actionable? How can we make it so that when people pick up that book, they can say, you know, it's kind of like I'm a golfer. And I don't know, you ever go to a golf event and you watch these guys and they make it look so easy.
Yeah, I'm not one of those guys that makes it look easy. I make it look fairly painful, actually.
Well, I go and I see, you see Ernie Els and you see Padraig Harrington and these
right.
guys make it look, after an hour, I'm ready to go hit balls.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
You're like, oh, I can do that.
Surely I can hit the ball 328 yards.
And you get up there and it goes 320 yards. It goes in the wrong direction.
That's exactly right. So it's the same type of thing. You know, I wanted to create a resource that allowed entrepreneurs to, when they were done reading it, they could actually feel like they could go do it, you know, and it was making it easy where they said, oh, you know what, here are some questions that, you know, we talk about a visible identity. Here are some questions that you can answer to start off and move that forward. Here are some things that you can do to develop my own unique selling proposition. Here's how I need to follow up with people, right? Here's the resource I need to use and make it easy for them.
So how much of the book are you using in your training, in your workshops? Obviously,
another good
concepts
one.
From that are happening all
yeah,
the time. But
Yeah. Gosh, in terms of a number, a percentage, it's got to be less than half. I mean, I haven't thought about it, but if I would say something like that, I mean, I know in our book, we talk about visible identity, which I talk about in the intensives. We talk a little bit about an elevator pitch, which we flesh out in the intensives. The difference that I find in the book versus the intensives and even my presentations is, especially with the intensives, is we actually sit down and formulate it for your business. You see, that's why I keep it that small. So I could have 50 people in the group and they pay me X number of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Or, and that's fine, or I could have 10 at most, maybe 50 max people, and we're literally going around the room and hammering out your elevator pitch. I am answering questions specific to your situation, right? On how I can, in this case, apply it to the business. The way I look at it is the book is the framework. It is the guide. It's almost like the home study version, if you want to think of it that way. And then the intensives is actually putting it into place for your business.
How have you dealt with growth? I mean, do you have a staff? Do you have people that are there to help you kind of book these things and organize them? How does that work?
That's a great question. We have an assistant, and her name is Trish. And what she does is she'll handle my back office stuff, right? She handles my bookings. She'll handle my calendar in terms of people calling in.
Yep.
She handles the cards. You know, we actually have a service that we use online, and then we can stuff and stamp, and they go out. Okay, so she'll handle the card part of it. And she handles all of the bookkeeping. She handles all that stuff. And what she does, she actually calls herself the follow-up assistant. Mm-hmm. All right. And so she works with myself and other people too, but mostly with me. I'm the one that goes out. I do the coaching. I do the consulting. I do the presentations. And obviously, there's always a sales component to anybody's business.
Sure.
And I'll do that as well.
So you're the man. You're the man that they see. You're the one who trains everything.
Well, let's put it this way. We got a fair share of disability and life insurance.
Yeah, I'll bet enough you do. About key man. So at some point, you know, Brian, this has got to get beyond you.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do then?
That is a good question. There's a great book out by Michael Port. You might have heard of it. His first book was called Book Solid. His second book is called Beyond Book Solid. I was having a conversation with this guy actually yesterday, the same thing. Port talks about different architectures, business architectures that you can have. So just as an example, you can go built to sell. You can go a franchise model. You can go a licensing model. You can do, I think there's like 8 different, maybe 10 different things that you can do. Train the trainer. Another model. I'm personally going down the licensing road.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got our stuff set up whereby we can port that out to the different people, you know, for X dollars. And we haven't done this yet, obviously, but for X dollars, they buy into the program. And then what happens is we're kind of going to do something where they can do the training themselves and they can have me come in on a quarterly or annual basis for their constituency, either in their local area or wherever we want to do that. But that's kind of the end game on how this is all going to go.
That's the next stage for you.
Yeah.
How far out?
That's a great question. Well, I want to retire by 50.
So it's pretty coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. So
all right. If you were speaking to business owners or salespeople that were trying to develop this process,
mm-hmm.
and you were going to give them 3 pieces of advice,
okay.
what would those 3 pieces of advice be?
And we're talking about prospecting and networking and marketing
themselves.
Yeah,
let's stay on the networking and the marketing side.
Okay. What I would say, first of all, is you definitely want to create a visible identity. There's no question about that. You have to, and this is, salespeople fall into this. They have a tendency, and no disrespect to your listeners, but generally speaking, salespeople have a bad rap, and what they do is they do a lot more talking than they do listening. And unfortunately, in a networking place, that comes from it just creates a negative ditch that they have to dig themselves out of. So number one, they want to ask the right questions, all right? Questions like, where else do you normally network? Questions like, what do you like best about what you do? Questions like, what got you started in this direction? All right, these are at point of attack, Chamber of Commerce, B&I, Rotary Club questions in the field, all right? Second thing they need to do is they need to have themselves a unique selling proposition. Okay. I teach it where you say, I work with this group to help them achieve or learn or get this benefit. So for me, I say I help busy entrepreneurs market their business in less than 90 days. You know, and if I just said, well, I'm a coach or I'm a consultant or I'm a this or I'm a that, people are hitting the snooze button. The concept I call that is finding your true product. Now that, to your point, the difference between the book and the intensives, that's tougher to find on your own in a book. Not saying you couldn't, I'm just making that distinction. That's
right.
What we cover during the intensives. So like, you know, as an advisor, it's, you know, it's peace of mind, or it's financial peace of mind, or it's knowing that your family's covered, okay? So, or for a real estate agent, it's finding the home of their dreams, right? So it might be I help individuals and, you know, corporate professionals, or even something even more simple, which is I help first-time home buyers find the home of their dreams. That's a really good one for realtors just to get started. All right. And then the third thing is follow up. They have got to follow up. I recommend, again, the referral Rainmaker as a contact management system. All right. You know, it's cheap, it's usable, and it's something where you can get all the people, you know, they have a reminder system. So like what I use this for if I have a meeting with you, right? And you ever have a meeting with somebody and you get a call saying, well, you know, if I don't hear from you by tonight, then I'm going to cancel it because I'm just confirming, right? And you're like, whoa, I have it on my calendar, Sparky. You know,
easy.
Settle down.
It's all good.
I got it.
Yeah.
But what this program does is it actually sends out a reminder email. So I might have a meeting, John Baker, right, Tuesday at whatever, 9 o'clock.
Right.
And this actually automatically, once it gets in my calendar, this will send out an email to you, assuming the email address is there the day before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Brian Hilliard, this is, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, it's a conversation in terms of your three points. It's a conversation about breaking the ice and creating a visible identity. It's a conversation about making sure that you stand out with a unique selling proposition and that you follow up with people after the fact and have a pool, if you will, built. I heard a person explain this to me. You need to have a pool as opposed to a bucket when it rains. If you're going to catch the water. So I go out and speak to we'll just throw out a number, 100 people a week, okay? You want to have a pool that catches those people and a process that processes them, business card scanner, that type of stuff, to go through that as opposed to a lot of people I see with their buckets and stuff just kind of slips through the cracks. And then they come to me and say, well, I can't get any business. This networking doesn't work.
Yeah, because they're trying to pull from a pool that's not a pool, right? All right, well, good stuff. Good stuff. So, In kind of wrapping up,
sure.
One of the things that we like to ask our guests is for a pearl of wisdom from your experience in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up and living in the Northeast,
right,
for a bit,
right.
Coming down as a Yankee, damn Yankee, I guess,
right.
That's what we are nowadays.
Fine,
because we stayed, right? I think that's the problem. What would you give as a pearl of wisdom in the exposure that you've seen to business owners, mm-hmm, and executives and people that are working out there? What, mm-hmm, would be your advice to those people?
Well, I mean, it's going to sound a little generic, but I think it's true in terms of trite. I think part of it is, you know, two things. Number one, it's you do have to stay with it. You know, this doesn't happen. It's the point I made to my brother. Success is not a straight line endeavor.
Right.
It's not, you know, and people, our media tells us it is. You know, you go, I remember listening to, Lost, which was a show a while back. I don't know if it's still on.
I think it was last year they ended.
Oh, good.
My wife TiVo'd it every week.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Well, we won't go down that road.
No, we won't go down that
road. Anyway, one of the things that one of the actors on there, Josh Holloway, he says, you know, the question was, well, what does it feel like to be an overnight success? He says, yeah, it only took me 7 years, you know? And I think a lot of times we look at the media and we're led to believe, right, that, oh, well, you know, I'm not being as successful. I need to change. I need to move. I need to do something different. And that's just not the case. Success is not a straight line endeavor. And the second pearl of wisdom, if I can throw out a second one, is the idea that you have to make you have to make decisions based on the information that you have. And either your business is going up or it's going down. And if you don't know if it's going up, it's probably going down. All right. And you need to continue to keep moving and make decisions even in the face of incomplete information. And you have to keep doing that. The successful people that I've seen are quasi risk takers, more calculated. I don't think of myself as a risk taker. I'm a calculated risk taker. You know, the funny thing was, I told my brother, I said, I think he's the one that's a risk taker. He's the one jumping in the building.
That's right. She's fighting fires.
I'm not doing that. I'm going home. I'm going to answer some email when I'm done here. Okay. He's going to go jump in the building maybe next hour.
That's right.
So it's a calculated risk, but you need to make decisions based on the information that you have. And if you're constantly moving and moving yourself forward, your business will be successful.
Great. Wise advice. So, if our listeners wanted to get in contact with you, what is the best way to do that?
Again, our website is www.agitoconsulting.com. Okay. It's got all of our contact information on there.
Yep.
They'll get in touch with Trish and all that good stuff, and we'll be good to go.
All right. Well, Brian, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out. We enjoyed today. Hopefully we can catch up with you sometime in the future.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Well, to our listeners, thank you for your time as well. And until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.